Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can my audience say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
All right, hallelujah. A little better, please.
Hallelujah.
Much better. All praises to the Most High. Yeah, the righteous cry, and the Most High hears them and delivers them out of all of their troubles. We serve a mighty Yah. We praise him. I thank him so much for the gathering of his people, for the dynamic that we have to be able to share with one another and talk. Thank you for the humble ears tonight. Thank you for your time. That's precious. My name is Ashley. I'm hosting tonight's show as we do weekly Sister Sister Broadcast. If you're catching us for the first time, you can catch us live Thursday nights on blogtalkradio.com/straightway. Tune in to us as our feast quickly approaches. Check out Leviticus chapter 23. Follow our shepherd and his commands. You'll see that we're about to kick off an awesome time of year that we longly await to see one another and be together. I pray that y'all are staying prayed up and really digging in and, you know, unveiling yourselves before the Father, getting as clean as you possibly can, being purged by his word, Definitely glorify him for all that we've been given as a people. Mother Jennifer, thank you. You are a mother that has been given to us as a people. I thank him for everything he's poured into you. Thanks for being able to come tonight and listening in. So let's get a sound check from you. Thanks to the chat room.
Bless you, Sister Ashley, and blessings to all the daughters of Zion. It's an honor to be here tonight for another episode of Sister to Sister. And, you know, Sister Ashley, I want to say that it really is an honor that you now have a live audience. I think it's a very exciting thing to have people on site there supporting and giving their input. So blessings to those who are physically there with you tonight. And I pray everyone can hear me. I can hear you very well. I'm in another location, so I don't have my chat room pulled up, but I know our faithful Sister Sakina has it pulled up for us. Sister Ashley.
All right, we got 10. Thank you to everyone listening. Beautiful, beautiful dynamic of having the audience with me. Very humbling because I know each of them have to get past their own flesh, my flesh, you know, the things that are in the way that try to hinder them from hearing the word, whether it's something in me or something in them. I understand, you know, how powerful hearing is, and I understand the opposition against hearing. So hallelujah for our shepherd who has taught us so many things. I praise the Most High Yah for teaching me how to keep my tongue from evil and teaching me to guard my lips from speaking guile. It's definitely been a lesson, a road, and, you know, a continual walk, something that I'm reaching for. And I really have enjoyed it, you know, the pain and all. It's been a good journey. I glorify him tonight. Tonight we'll talk about many things. I'll read some emails. I'll tell you how it even started, how tonight's topic even started. I saw Mother Jennifer recently, and we spoke, and she loved the idea. So blessed be the Most High Yah for just always, the dead can't praise him. So allowing us to come and talk and for each of you to listen. I thank you for all the aged women that are willing to sacrifice, to lay down the things they've been taught. You know, the farther you get into this culture and rooted into the traditions of your family, it's not easy to change and to humble yourself to maybe someone even younger than you or, you know, someone from a different culture or background that doesn't have your understanding, your experience. So I thank you so much for your ears. Those of you who are older than me, bless you. I acknowledge your experience. I acknowledge the Father in you, working with you. We are all one body. You are special to me. I acknowledge the young daughters of Zion tonight. I thank the Father for them. Though you may be gullible in nature right now, Yah will mold you into a woman. I apologize in advance for any and all experiences that you may have in your life as a young woman that you shouldn't have by us aged women, the things you shouldn't see, the things you shouldn't hear. But I pray that you make no excuse to serve the Most High Yah. Praise the chief of the ministry and our shepherd. I praise my husband. I praise him in the gates. I accept him. I accept Yah in them, their direction. It's not about lip service for me. If y'all know me, I do take life very serious. I do serve with the best of my ability. Doesn't mean I don't fall. Doesn't mean I don't fail. But I hope that I don't lay a stumbling block before any of you, and I hope that those in other communities are not laying stumbling blocks before you, before the Messiah, and not laying a stumbling block before his little ones. As you all come into the ministry, I pray that you will link up with righteous women that are striving as you are striving. I pray that you will know when you do see faults in them, that you will still run for your life to love them. I have built some amazing bonds in my life, Mother Jennifer, and I would have never imagined to have such a healing process. It's just wonderful. I just praise the Father for all the people that are involved. Special thank you to Pastor and his family who, you know, it's our harvest season, so we have many things, you know, okra, tomatoes, collards, green beans, squash, zucchini, of course, some medicinal herbs and things, and the list goes on, and lettuce and peppers and jalapenos and celery, purple cabbage, green onions. You know, we grow lots of things, and it takes time. It takes time from a lot of people. It takes organization and structure. It takes one mind that we're all striving to get. Appreciate Pastor's vision, and appreciate the women who support him, who also have to take care of the things that they have behind closed doors, you know, for him and for the ministry, as well as participating with us as often as they can. I'm very, very, very thankful to all of you who are still, you know, in the saddle and still buckled up and riding with this, with the Father. There's just no other way to live. There's just no other way to live. I hope you came this far to change. I hope you moved to a community to change, if you have moved to a community. I hope that it's in your heart to change no matter where you ever live. We're all seeking that same goal to change. Mother Jennifer, blessed be the Most High Yah for Deacon Bell, a man that I would have to say in the early years my heart took advantage of, not knowing how precious he was as a selfish new bride, but really learning how to keep my commitments, and the list goes on. So I won't bore you with the marriage growth, although there's so much depth to it. I thank the Father for Deacon Bill, who has always supported Pastor Charles Dow and who will die supporting Pastor Charles Dow. He's just not going to waver. Some of us, you know, as dishonor is magnified and accusations are personified, as mistrust is manifest, you know, as slumber sweeps over some of your souls, you just ain't going to move, some of us old-timers. We're going to run, and we're going to run, and we're going to not faint. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Your turn. Share your heart.
Hallelujah. First and foremost, I want to acknowledge and give thanks to the Most High God for his loving commitment toward us, and just for giving us an opportunity to choose the life that he has created for us, for knowing, you know, who we are, giving us an identity as a people, being in a world and not understanding who we are at all, trying to fit in, trying to understand, trying to discern, and we had none. So I'm thankful that he has come to make everything so clear and so plain, and all we have to do is walk in the purpose that he has given us. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for being such a mature, sound example in my life, teaching me daily how to be selfless, teaching me daily how to serve Yah's people, teaching me daily just how to focus on my relationship with the Most High Yah and how to serve Yah by serving his people. Again, I know I say this a lot, but it puts me in a state of awe to watch his service to Pastor Dow, to really serve the ministry in such a selfless way, and to understand the love for Yah in a way that I've never seen before. And I want to acknowledge Pastor Dowell for setting such a wonderful example of leadership. There was a video that was put out today about leaders and leadership. He explained everything so beautifully. You know, there's so much information being put out, so much time being spent. We have no idea. We don't understand the hours and everything that that our shepherd puts in for us on our behalf. And I'm just thankful to have a man of Yah lead us who truly loves us the way that Yah is commanding him to love us, you know, never running away from responsibility of leadership at all, but really leading the people, even in the midst of the people not wanting to be led. So bless you, Pastor Dow. Blessings to your entire family for everything that you all do, the things that we see and the things that we don't see. And bless you all for just giving us mature examples of marriage and what marriage should be, what marriage looks like. It's a blessing for us to have that example so that we can be examples as well. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, let me give you the countdown for those who love to hear it. And first, wait a second, to my sister Marshayla and everyone who wants to know who's in the audience. Amanda. And Tammy, Mom Margaret, Alyssa,
yes,
special shout out to Sister Allison, bless you, and Chef Tanisha and Granny Barb. Did I get everybody?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, hallelujah. So I have my own little room, and no one comes into this room unless I call them, and I leave my door open because they're very, very close. They sit right outside the door, and that's our dynamic. So Marshayla, that's our audience tonight. Bless you. Bless your family. Sister Alex, I got a book for you, so maybe I'll read you the page number. Anything else? Oh, yes, okay, 59 days to Tabernacles. 53 days to Atonement. Remember, get all white if you want to participate. If you want to do it our way, right? We want to share our culture, our tradition here. We wear all white. Even down to the socks if you wear socks. Like Pastor says, not the dingy white, not the pearl silver shiny white, not the silk white. Just white, you know. There's a lot of shades of white. Not beige or bone, you know. 45 days until trumpets. Hallelujah. So you got, the dates are September the 8th, September the 16th, September the 21st. You know, we open up our land for many of you on the 19th. So you're going to hear us go through this spiel probably every week until it gets close. Be a blessing being tossed together, and hopefully they'll be ready for you in the very, very near future. And to my sisters who are spearheading your communities behind the scenes, gathering the women for duties and responsibilities, I'll be contacting you as quickly as I can. I have everything I need from you, and I'll let you know, and then you will let me know if that is practical, if that is okay. So a quick rundown, Sister Mother Jennifer. So we have... Mother did a menu. It started on, Sunday, September the 19th. And then she makes the menu all the way. Let me go to my next date. Would be Sunday, October 3rd. So that's a good, you know, almost 3 weeks. So it's a few days prior to the feast, and it's all the way through, and then it's another week or so. And, for example, if she gives me 4 items on the menu, I will assign the person. Some of y'all heard this before. And then I'll give it back to her, and she'll say, okay. Or no, let's shuffle. And so we have the sisters on the land that we stretch out as thin as possible. Sister Carolina kicks up the reefer truck. She took over last feast doing that for Granny Diane. So she'll just set up all the boxes. We have an 18-wheeler truck that we run literally from the front to the back on both sides, all the way up and stacked with shelves of food. We have, I don't know, do we have 13 freezers on the land? And they're pretty much packed at the kickoff of every feast. And then we have a snack night every night starting on Sunday, September 19th. So we have snack teams. So I'll assign sisters from off-land. And I've never been able to say thank you enough to everyone off land who travels on Shabbat weekly to participate in anything we have, from dishes to chow hall cleanup to desserts to feast days. I work directly with Marshayla with the charts. I work directly with Sister Alex on the catering teams, the shifts that we have to run, anywhere from 8 to 12 sisters typically. Don't want to bore you with a bunch of tabernacle information, but behind the scenes, I work with Marshayla on menu. I took that from Alex when she got pregnant, and she didn't want anything taken from her at all because she's a go-getter and she wants to do everything, but she's got a baby and she's willing. So anyway, we made some shifts, right? So I grabbed that. Oh, it was when you moved, right? Sorry, Alex. It was when you moved and you left me. So she just said, uh-huh. And so, yeah, grabbed that from her, threw it to Marshayla, me and Marshayla. So Marshayla will type up menu for me. She'll type up everything that I write down and pass to her. We have a lot of communications before every feast. Sister Alex will run by me everyone's availability, throw the chart together. I'll look over that and do any shifts. We have food runners that we assign down the hill. We have a team up the hill. So outside of the chore list for the women, there's a lot of responsibilities. People have a lot of shifts and duties, cooking, et cetera. So I have teams assigned from, you know, South Carolina's there this year, Michigan, I hope that you're able to be here. I got you down this year. Marshayla, Charmaine, and Narissa, they tossed together on a few things. Georgia's got their assignments, Promised Land, Praise Land, Sonny Crago, reach out to her and say, could you get this for us, you know, and Mother Jennifer asked her those requests. Texas, Kentucky, of course. We used to bug Sister Carell. Now it's all on our Sister Erica in Kentucky's. It's on her shoulders. I already said South Carolina. Bobby pulls her weight. Of course, Grandma Vicky's still milking goats. Kansas City. Nadia, Sister Deira, I threw you on to get some kitchen time this year. Straight Lake Tennessee, of course, is in there. Sister Angelica, I threw you on there this year. Her babies are a little older. She's a good cook. She's got one responsibility. So, you know, Goshen. Goshen's going to be there. We got a team we call the girls. And the girls are Nadia and Janice and Gigi. And I'm not sure what Mother's going to call them when they get older. They'll always be girls to her. Give them some responsibilities to Ajali. Ajali has had twins. You know that pulls every ounce of your sleep and your being from birth, right? So she had twins and hasn't had a huge responsibility since. So this year I put more on her. Of course, Nicole Hill helps me greatly. Amara helps me greatly. Mama Lillian, 86 years old, her first feast helped me greatly at the information center. I team up with Teacher Shane, just hand him what we needed, and he did that monitor for us. I'm looking through, like I see everybody's. Amanda, you're in here. Thank you for everyone who takes care of Granny Ruth, Tammy, Amanda, Nicole Moore, bless y'all. Clarksville, New York, you know you're on there. And Tanasa's a big help. Anyone who's helped with the refrigerator truck. Sister Summer's menu item made it to the feast this year. I'm not going to tell y'all. It'd be a surprise. You'll like it. And, all right, that's feast talk. So I'm going to reach out to y'all. I got your names. I got the book right in front of me. And no need to say it all on the show. Any announcements, Mother Jennifer?
I have no announcements, but I do want to say that, you know, each feast, it's like it gets better and better each year. The organization is impeccable. It's like a well-oiled machine. And if we all fall in line and we all follow instructions, things will go very smoothly. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, I'll tell you just a little bit of background of how tonight's topic will kick off and how it came to my mind. If you post the link, Sister Sakina, to the video that our brother TJ posted on his channel, and our pastor shared it, called How I Abandoned My Family. Obviously, listening to it, you'll know that that's far from the truth, but listening to TJ Clemens' video, we welcome our brother and to any and all in our faith and in our family that I've had to forsake. Hallelujah, honor upon you. For being willing to take that step of faith. So a lot of women don't get the opportunity, nor ever would we want it or take it, to be in our brother's faces to say hallelujah and bless you. But from behind the scenes, can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
We support you wholeheartedly. We're behind you wholeheartedly. Mother Jennifer, can you help me out and just speak to that, to our family, brothers or sisters that are walking away from something that is attached to any form of pain or affliction?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. It truly is a blessing and honor to see those who have placed their desire for the Most High Yah above everything else, above all else. And when you see those types of examples, you know, like our brother Kabir, our brother TJ, just to name a few, when you see those examples and you look at your own life, you look at things that, you know, that you don't want to give up. As a woman, we'll just say as a woman, I'm speaking to the sisters, you know, not wanting to give up your own will, not wanting to give up your own desires, things of that nature. When you look at these brothers and even the women, you know, think about Brother Daniel and his family, the things that they've given up. You know, when you look at those examples, we have no excuse. Every single excuse is being removed, because they truly love Yah, and it's an honor to be able to serve alongside them. Sister Ashley?
It really is. Hey, so let me finish. I'm going to finish what my thought was, And then I'm going to go into the word, I think it might be Psalms 34. Let me pull that up too. Okay, so I'm listening to our brother TJ's story, his testimony. And at the very end, he just said, you know, he said, for those who were, you know, watching and had opposition and had things to say, you know, brother Rob and brother Kabir and brother Daniel and brother TJ, you know, they can have CTE, right? Okay, you can say that. Hallelujah. Yeah, we played, we got hit, whatever. You know, I'm adding to it a little bit, but with the dynamics of football, okay, yes, you can say it. But what about Sister Chris? And that caught my attention in my ear. Really stood out in my spirit, and I said, hey, I'm gonna form the show off of that. So what I did was I reached out to Sister Chris and asked would she be able to answer some questions based off her experience as a, you know, NFL wife at one time. And then now y'all know she lives on a community, which is iron and iron, grinding. You got to love the Father to be there and to stay there. And she said yes, that she would answer, and she would rather have a questionnaire form than just freely speak, you know, because she wanted to stay in whatever pattern, whatever I wanted her to say. But I reached out. I told her I was going to involve Ashley Miles, who is behind the scenes. Also, I need her. You know, I have a lot of needs in Israel, and I reach out to people based on their talent, you know, or their spirit, who they are. And Sister Ashley, for me, is someone, her and Sakina. Sakina and Ashley are two people that, you know, hey, if I want a quote from Pastor, I'm a contact. If I want a, hey, find me the video that Pastor said this, this, and this, like, she'll find it. She'll research till she find it. And so for this was my first time saying, hey, can you type this up? But because Chris is right there with Ashley, they're all right there at Goshen, I said, hey, just pick a few, oh, hold on, I'm sorry. Yeah, thanks, I'm going to print that out. Good, I got something I want to print. So, yeah, I said, Ashley, can you formulate this questionnaire for me? I'm going to send you the questions. You type them up for me, right? She said, sure. And so Sister Chris was aware of it, too, so I had that. And then I asked Ashley, hey, give me a couple of other sisters that have success according to the world. Stories, jobs, education, whatever it may be, that stand out to you, who comes to mind? And she hits me right back and she says, Sister Susie and Mama Brenda. Now, Mama Brenda would be included in tonight, but we believe, I'm assuming, Mama Brenda, if you catch the show, that your service is very poor and you didn't get our communications. So no problem at all, but just know you were in our hearts. So we got Susie. I got Nicole Moore. What's the basis? Why are we doing this? Why are we talking about this? I don't know. It's for somebody. So we're coming from, hey, Sister Sakina, why is it not popping up in my inbox? Do I got to, oh, there we go. All right, I had to refresh. So just even me sharing that with you, Mother Jennifer, what type of response will we get, or listening attention would we get? Who would benefit from it? What could we glean from a topic like this?
You know, Sister Ashley, it always seems sometimes that you're going to reach one particular audience, but I think everybody can be reached. You know, because the Holy Spirit is dealing with each individual in a different way, and so each person can learn something from these testimonies or these emails, these questionnaires that we're going to read. It can pertain to everyone, really. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. So you're going to hear my printer going in the background. I'm going to print something. Thank you, Elder Becker, for your ink and your paper. Hallelujah. All right, all things common here. So I'm going to read to you. Oh, and don't forget, we're going to talk about just women in general. So let me give that caveat. I'm a woman, and I'm very thankful to be. You know, I don't want to use the word I'm proud, you know, to be a woman. I'm very thankful, you know, to be who Yah has made me. When you hear us speak, you know, especially if we're coming in line behind a man who speaks so brazen or so open and honest about women in general, when we're coming behind that and we're supporting that, then you can imagine the change and the sacrifice and the shedding of all of the weights and the ways of the world. You know, if you're going to line up with what he's saying, if you're going to support it, if you're going to say the same thing on our broadcast, then you know that as he has had thousands upon thousands of experiences with women that are, you know, that's leading his speech based completely on the word and what he reads in the word, if he's going to speak as hard as he speaks, you know he's had thousands of experiences. And if we're going to come behind him to support it, then you know we've had our share of experiences that are right in line with the word. And coming this way, living set apart, like he even said in his leadership video, Mother Jennifer, you know, some people do have the opportunity to, you know, come and go, wake up when you want, and that dynamic of independence that is just not afforded to everyone at a community. He uses himself as a self-sacrifice example, and then he expects that, you know, to be produced by us. And so if he's had to change, if he's had to produce, then we shall too. So I want to share some verses tonight and another and an example. I have a book called, hold on, I don't want to miss, The Testaments of the 12 Patriarchs. So the testament's just, you know, final words, story. What would you say a testament would be, Mother, Grandma Barb? Their story. Their story, their life. Do you have this book, The Testament of the 12 Patriarchs? Nope. Have heard of it. I don't know of any book that I've ever had that Grandma Barb doesn't have because her library exceeds mine, so I'm excited that I have a small pamphlet that Grandma Barb has heard of but doesn't have. Grandma Barb, you can finally borrow something of mine if you desire.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. So we're going to wrap this all into one show, and let's start with you, Mother Jennifer. Before community, before hearing the term and the word, before your husband or your own heart said, I'm going to live in a house with a bunch of people that believes the same, walks the same, lives the same, loves the same, eats the same, and then, hey, you get there and everything's not the same, you know, we got to get there. Okay, so before all that, because now that's your testimony and your experience, I'm going to take you back to before pre-faith. What success was to you? Do you even remember what any of your goals might have been? And if so, any of your work experience that you want to share or your education?
Sister Ashley, I remember, you know, I was a single parent, and I remember being in survival mode. I worked for an automotive company, and I had been there for about 15 years, and I was pretty successful with that company, moved up the ladder, and, you know, had been moved a few times, you know, back and forth with the company. And still, even with those terms of what the world would think success is, you know, because I was in a corporate position, but I was still in survival mode. You know, there was something that was still in the back of my mind telling me that I'm a single woman. You're on your own. You know, you have no one covering you. Even though I didn't understand those terms and those words, I just knew that I was still in survival mode. So for me, success was just surviving. That's what it was for me. Sister Ashley.
Wow, hallelujah. Success for me, I had based on, you know, if you've ever been a collegiate athlete, you sign your life to them, honestly, whether it's signing a paper or not, which you do on Division I, you sign a paper. And for me, I couldn't work more than 4 hours. And so what are you going to do for 4 hours, right? But nonetheless, in between school years, you have a very small window of working. And so I wanted to find the job that was going to be physically taxing to maintain my, what would you say? It wasn't about physique. It wasn't about vanity at all. It was about when I get back, I got to run my ass off, and I got to lift weights, and I got to swim. and I can't lose shape, meaning, you know, I can't get out of breath on day one and my coach is in my face. So you have this short period of time. So, you know, I did some welding and I sold some cars and I one summer had three jobs, so I didn't sleep much. One summer I worked at a sawmill. One summer this, that, and the other. So I had a lot of that. But when I graduated, I was looking for management. I was working underground, Washington, D.C., United States Postal Service, probably 10 women in 100 men setting. And that mind, that setting was appropriate. There was no problem with it. You didn't want to be around women anyway, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is all women. Y'all hear them say it, right? Did you want to be around women?
No.
And if you don't want to be around women, then should we have any problem hearing what we hear against women?
No.
Right? So that's interesting, right? It makes sense, Amanda says. And so, yeah, just quick reference real quick so you understand where, you know, your speakers are connecting with y'all tonight. I actually, I was working 14 to 16-hour days. Everybody's got their story. Most of you have done that somehow, some way, right? And I was looking for another job when I would get home on the laptop. And I'm looking for something that was managerial because I'm just, hey, I made great money, but I'm just unloading trucks in a United States Postal Service, which happened to be, y'all heard me say before, snakes, chickens, trees, just random stuff like, wow, they mail this, you know? So that experience was crazy. Operating machinery. Anyway, so I land a job as a restaurant manager, and I also supervised a shipping dock for Wilson Sporting Goods. And that's just running the truck dock in and out, you know. So the supervision and the managerial skills came, you know, were strengthened with that dynamic. A lot of you know, you go to college, you get a degree. It really doesn't mean that you have any common sense at all or that you could apply it. You just, you know, but for me, I wanted to manage something. I wanted to be there from start to finish, and I really loved people. Social skills was my thing. I really, if you've never heard my story before, there was a man from India, Pakistan. He was a prime minister security guard or something, like a really over there, a big guy, really important guy. You could tell by his demeanor. He came into the restaurant one night with a missionary from America. So they came to my restaurant one night, sat down together, and that man, that aged man that was a Christian missionary, he and I emailed each other. They were just on Interstate 40, just passing through Tennessee from, you know, the man's from Florida. He was a missionary worker in India. So they come by the restaurant. I met some really, if you want to say cool people, I met big name people working off the interstate. I really did. I'm not going to bore you with it. And so this man and I stayed in email contact the rest of his life. He only came to the restaurant three total times while I worked there because he was from Florida. He stopped to see me every time. And when he died on his deathbed, his wife called me. So that was interesting. That was how much I poured my heart into people that I didn't even know, if that makes sense. All right, so that's a little bit about me. That's my experience. Amanda, come here. And by the way, it's definitely not to exalt education or experience because, hey, even if I call somebody up and they say I was a janitor, that's exactly what they did. They did it with their heart. Come on up. What were you? What did you do in your background or your job title?
So I was a CNA for a little over 10 years doing home health care.
Home health care, CNA, over 10 years. Now you're taking care of a beautiful aged woman, huh?
The best woman.
The best. Yeah. It really is, huh?
She's a joy.
Really, and then and being here, doing what you do at the same time,
can't
right?
Beat it.
You can see the joy on your face. So
yes.
Thank you for your commitment.
Bless you.
Why am I saying all this? Because maybe those that are out there listening need to hear anything that we're saying to say, oh, wow, you know, we're all following the same man. We're all following the same way. We're all dressed in the same, and we're changing. We're from all over the world, and this is our background. Mom Margaret, please come here. Do you have anything to say, Mother Jennifer, while we wait on her?
You know, Sister Ashley, I do. I just want to add one thing. It's interesting that we're talking about, you know, our careers prior to coming to the faith. And I know that everyone is so grateful to be able to come out of, you know, working outside the home, and those who are able to you know, be in their role and work in the home and school the children and care of the house and just all those things. While you're listening to this broadcast tonight, or you're even listening to the women talk about, you know, their prior careers before the faith, really think about the gratitude that you should have in your heart that the Father has pulled you out and the Father has allowed you to not have to interact with the world the way that you used to. So when you get that temptation or that urge to complain, really think about what the Father has brought you from and what he has pulled you from. And you should truly have gratitude in your heart that, you know, that you don't have to deal with the things that you used to before. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. That's the truth. I got Mama Margaret here, but you just brought up a good point, Mother Jennifer. You always bring a balance, and it is the truth. This is not to glorify anything. Although Yah redeems your experience and he allows it to be used amongst the body, at the same time, it's not to glorify anything we've ever done. Matter of fact, it's very lightly ever talked about. If I didn't, you know, ask on the show, maybe no one would have ever known what Amanda did. You know, no one would ever know what Mom Margaret's about to say. We don't talk about it. We don't even know anything about each other except Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of the way. But for anyone out there struggling with, you know, success mentality, career, you know, when I moved to the community, Mom Margaret, I said, what? I got to drop my insurance? I got to drop my insurance. What am I going to do? This is internal because I didn't talk to nobody about it. I'm just telling y'all now. I ain't gonna have no insurance. Like, why is this a fear all of a sudden? I'm paying for insurance whether I live or die with insurance or not. Why is this an issue? So just that game out there, that game. But you didn't even know what we were going to discuss tonight. And you were out with us this morning around 6:30 a.m. or whatever. What time did you get to the garden?
About
6:30. And you were harvesting green beans with us. And she didn't even know. And she said, women of the world are working out there. Do you remember what you said?
Yeah, I do.
Speak up, please.
Okay. Women in the world don't have no idea what work really is.
They don't have any idea what work really is. And you would say that because you've been here for a few days.
For a few days, and I know what work really is.
And you've worked all your life, Mom Margaret.
All my life.
All your life.
Since I was 16.
Since you were 16. Mm-hmm. And what are some of the things you have done? Wait a second. How long have you been here this time? Like, how many days have you been with us this time?
This time, I've been here since first day.
First day.
Up until today.
Today. So 5 days she's been with us. Mom Margaret, nobody knows who you are. You've been with us for years. So you've been here tons and tons of times. So this is not her first time. This has been a different experience for her being able to get off and come during the harvest.
Correct.
Right? Correct. So tell everybody what you've done in just 5 days.
Ooh, in 5 days, it's a list.
Go ahead. We're ready. Tell me.
We started out, well, I didn't get to get in on the chicken butchering, but
That happened on the first day you arrived.
And then we was weeding the garden. We snapped the beans. We diced tomatoes. I did adult care with
Granny Ruth. So we made the salsa the day we diced the tomatoes. Yes, you got to see that whole process, canning and all that.
All of that was done, and it was from the beginning of the day almost to the end of the day with doing that. Yeah. We naturally wash dishes, harvest basil. And parsley. We made soap. Believe it or not. Yes, we made some soap, and we organized. we organized the storage area. You know, we rotated the chicken.
Yes, in the freezer. You and I and Mama Natalie was leading us. Tanisha was there. Alyssa was there.
That was interesting, huh? That was very interesting.
We have color-coded chicken. Yes.
From the color code. Yes. And that makes sense.
It makes sense
to do that. Yeah. And then this was a task for me, but I did it, working with them goats.
You worked with the goats. You touched an animal.
I touched an animal.
For the first time ever?
No, it wasn't the first time ever.
First time with a goat.
First time working with the goat and you know, scooping poop.
Oh,
you know?
Right. Yes, you know, scooping
poop. It's one thing to touch them, was another thing to scoop poop.
To humble yourself that way. Yes.
That broke my flesh.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, just, you know, we've had Bible studies. We've had, and I just want you all to know that it's not all work. They do have fun here, too.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. We got on the boat. We pedaled on the boat. Well, not pedaled.
On the pond?
On the pond,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little kayak or boat,
yeah,
whatever
kinda light,
it is.
You know, but it was fun and nice, you know, to do that. We did that. We had a little popcorn party movie time. So we did that. Just walking through the garden of Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah Seed Garden.
And
seeing
Jordan's
that.
Garden. Yeah.
Oh,
just,
okay.
Seeing that, it was like walking through the garden with the Most High.
Yes.
You know, just thinking of things
and
like
all
that.
The things that were growing at the time, huh?
It's a lot. They
beautiful.
Have a lot of stuff going in there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just to name a few.
In
5 days.
You're hearing this right, Mother Jennifer?
In 5 days. Mother Jennifer, 5 days.
Hallelujah. Definitely beautiful. It really is a beautiful thing to be able to live on community, to grow your own food, to process your own food, to eat your own food, and it really gives you an appreciation for where the Most High has placed you. It really does. You know, being in the world, you have no understanding at all. When it's just as easy as going to the store and being able to buy something and take it home and consume it. But when you actually put the time in to grow it, and to water it and to believe Yah that he's going to bring the increase, and you harvest it and you process it and you are feeding the saints with it, it gives you a whole level, a different level of appreciation and a whole different outlook. Sister Ashley?
Yes, thank you. Mom Margaret, what was your experience in the world, your job titles or your commitments?
I started out I actually started out as a janitor, and then from there I did customer service in hospitality.
Many years have you been in the job field?
37 years working.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 37 years working, doing, you know, from restaurants to hotels to teaching, you know, in a daycare.
Okay.
Teaching there and just more so that type of work.
And mom and grandma.
And mom and grandma. Yeah, mom, grandma.
And you're still learning and you're still growing.
And I realize now that it's better to be in the position to learn and not always think you have to do something.
Yes.
Just be available.
Just be available. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
To follow, to learn, to be a helping hand.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Is there anything else you want to share? Anything from your notes? I bugged her today and said, hey, what's some of the things that you've done since you're here? And she said, oh, gosh, I can make a list. I said, do that, please. make a list and bring it to the show.
Yeah. But I know just being Mother Barbara and I was talking, and, you know, we were talking about being a servant.
Yes.
Being a servant. Being a servant is a privilege to do that. But when you're being a servant, it's awesome for someone to trust you with, you know, that servitude.
Yes.
Sister Angelica as to watch her children. And I had an awesome time just watching her children, just playing, you know, playing around with them. And it was fun.
Yes.
It was fun to be able to incorporate learning in the process of playing.
Yes.
And I realize now everything that is being done on the community, it's a learning process.
Hallelujah.
Everything is a learning process. You can learn. It's training. You can learn anything just by watching and doing. But I noticed that it's better to do.
Yes.
Because, you know, sometimes you can watch things and think you know how to do it, but hands-on is perfect.
Hands-on. And we are Israel. We definitely need to be hands-on and keeping our mouths off, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Just hands-on, mouths off. Thank you for your time.
Bless.
Thank you for all your work. I've seen your busyness. Hallelujah. And there are more things that we have done. Look, I'm not going to call everybody in here. I'm going to move on. Mother Jennifer, I'm going to jump to Sister Susie here. Sister Susie. Here is a question, for example, on your questionnaire. To define your opinion of success prior to your transformation in Messiah and Jesus. And she says, success would have been making lots of money, being praised at work by colleagues and clients, and having obedient, smart children. What type of events did you attend?
Okay, that's on her questionnaire. Susie says, oh, I didn't tell you. What was your career before coming into the faith, Sister Susie? I was an attorney. Hallelujah. An attorney. I think in D.C. or maybe Wall Street or somewhere on the East Coast. You might have heard Pastor say it before. You never know by her homesteading and her off-grid lifestyle. You would never know. She doesn't carry herself that way. It says, and what does the word say? Let another man's lips praise you, right? Let another man's lips praise you. This is a moment to, we should always, Mother Carol has taught, always be able to say something good about everyone. If you can't find anything good, you got to reevaluate yourself. So a reflection for tonight is when we talk about other sisters or experience or status or money or success, or I'm going to jump even to this book and read a few verses. Always reflecting on ourselves, when we hear a woman being praised, what hits your spirit? What sort of jealousy or envy? What sort of rejection? You know, what sort of, I wish I had that? You know, really getting to the root of the internal communication, Mother Jennifer.
Right. And Sister Ashley, you know, we should be able to mature enough to get to the level of having such an admiration for the things that we see in our sisters. And it really puts an internal goal in you to want to achieve that same thing. And it should actually bring you closer to that sister because you want to learn from her. That's when you know when you've reached a level of maturity, when you don't have the envy or the jealousy in you, when you see someone else's success. You just know that, okay, they've arrived in this particular area, and this is an area where I need help in. So let me go to this sister and let me learn from this sister in this particular area. Sister Ashley?
Right. So what if I can't see anything strong about a sister? What if the weakness overpowers it? Step back. Evaluate yourself. Keep a mature distance. Don't be contentious. Get yourself together. Take some time to pray through it. Not a lot of time. Don't baby yourself. You know, gird your loins, but stay on your knees. Recognize your offense. Get strong enough in that area of what you see about her that if it never changes, you will always be willing to still die for her because the Messiah did, right? So you step back, reevaluate, gather yourself, get strong in that area so if she never changes, you will be consistent for her, okay? So jumping back to here, all right, you're an attorney, and success to you would have been making lots of money. What about types of events that you attended? Could you tell me some of them? Here's the list. Work-related events would have been client lunches and dinners, fancy restaurants, work retreats at expensive resorts, industry conferences at fancy hotels, client holiday parties, or special client events like renting out an entire fancy bowling hall, and bringing in catered food, renting out a design studio at a sneaker store so we could all design and take home our own custom-made sneakers. Church events were usually related to Christmas, Sunday, Easter, and vacation Bible school or soccer camp. She left all that to bring glory to the Messiah, to humble herself. Next question, what was your first reaction when your husband first told you about the straightway truth? Or did you find it first? We started keeping Sabbath by watching another ministry first. Then I believe that would be classified as Hebrew Roots. Then we started watching Straightway Service. And while I agreed with most of what Pastor was saying, I was horrified by what I considered to be his potty mouth. After all, the children were listening. And she said, of course, at the time she would have said the kids were listening. Also, we had asked her how much money she had spent yearly on clothes, cars, excess shopping, but she had a very economical way. Even with all that, she still had a humility about herself because she said, I don't have an actual number, but my husband and I were not super extravagant people, even back then. Bought clothes on sale, though we had a lot of them, stopped shopping at expensive stores, et cetera. So she really had a good pattern. So we're just trying to build status. We were fishing with these questionnaires, right? So it says, what does your daily activity look like compared to your previous lifestyle? So she said, I actually wake up later now than I'm in the faith. I used to wake up around 5 a.m. so that I could make a 2-hour and 45-minute commute to work one way. Work all day. Leave work a little before 5 p.m. to commute back home, 2 hours and 45 minutes, and get home just to say goodnight to the children. As a mom, right? Moms are doing this all over, coast to coast, missing their children's lives. She says, if my train was delayed or if I had to work late, I would not even be able to see the children all day. And these days, I spend my time with my husband and my children making sure I'm doing all I can to meet their needs. Rather than living in a 4,000-square-foot house, we probably live in less than 600 square feet for a family of seven. And that doesn't include storage space for things. So any advice, next question for her, that you would offer to a career woman who is coming into the faith or someone similar? And she says, I've been where you are. I've been the envy of many women. In the world's eyes, I've had it all, the career and the family. And I'm here to tell you I had nothing. I was not able to give 100% to my career or my family. And deep inside, if I was truthful, I would have told you that my heart's desire was to be at home with my family. And all the brainwashing from society, colleagues, friends, and family will tell you that you are wasting your talent and your brains and your skill if you just stay at home. But that's what Yah created us to do. So unless we are performing our role as a helper to our husbands, we will never truly be fulfilled. I'm much more content now than I ever was prior to coming into the faith. Last question for her was, how do you define success now? And she says, success is being a wife and a mother that's pleasing in my husband's sight. Success is being able to overcome the haughtiness and the Jezebel nature of previous generations in order to become obedient and submissive. Success is being able to recognize Satan's tactics and engage in spiritual warfare in order to be victorious and overcome. I don't consider myself successful yet, but with Jesus on my side, I'm getting there. Hallelujah. Bless you all, my wonderful sisters. Hey, you can tell by the pattern of these emails tonight that we have the same speech. That's the one heart. That's the one mind. We have the same speech. Success to her was being a wife and a mother. Success to me is being a wife and a mother. Success to another woman is being a wife and a mother. Success to a young daughter of Zion is when I am a wife and a mother. That's the end goal. That's the beginning and the end. That's it. Just want to be a wife and a mom, a friend and a sister, right? Let's go to you, Mother Jennifer. That was a good questionnaire. Thank you, Sister Susie, for your time. What's your thoughts?
You know, when I read or when I listen to you read this questionnaire, I think about women who are currently in the world. You know, and there's this thing with women in the world, with some women in the world who claim that they don't need a man, you know, and they're just pleased being on their own, pleased being by themselves. And they focus on the amount of money that they make. They're very possessive of their money. It belongs to them. They focus on the size of their home, even though they're alone and it's just them. They focus on the number or the type of vehicles they have, even though they're by themselves, it's just them. They focus on the amount of clothing that they have, the type of clothing that they have, but they're so unhappy and alone. And when I listen to this questionnaire, and the thing that stands out from our sister Susie is she says, I'm here to tell you I had nothing. I had nothing. And she realizes that, but, you know, I really see the void in these women who are pouring all these, you know, all of their efforts into all these things that don't even matter, and they have absolutely nothing. And with that type of mindset, they are alone, and they will actually die alone by themselves. Sister Ashley,
very well put. So how can we tie in behavior right here? Let's take a pause between emails because, you know, just even using Sister Susie's schedule, not even her as an example, just that form of schedule. I remember commuting in D.C., Maryland, you know, and some of you did, right, in your city life. The hours that you wasted away on the interstate, didn't think nothing of it because everyone was doing it, you know. And all that time that you waste away in the car or at the job, you're definitely not learning to speak less and not learning how to keep silent. You're not learning how to make a friend or trust a neighbor. You're acting wickedly, really, and you don't know it.
so what happens, you know, hey, it's introduced that these women are striving and these women are doing this, and a lot of people, we don't expect a lot to come this way. It's never been our desire. We're not going out there trying to get everyone to come and listen. You know, we don't solicit ourselves that way. We don't solicit Jesus that way. We simply just speak the truth and hoping that we would cultivate a relationship. In the word, I'm going to go to Sirach for a second. Let's see. Don't go after your desires. Restrain yourself. Restrain yourself from your appetites. Okay? Don't go after your desires. What's your desire? What is it? Right? And so maybe you have this or that or this or that. Maybe it's food, clothes, money, job, whatever's in front of you. It says don't go after it. Learn how to restrain yourself. So you can look at that and go, okay, I'm going to get self-control. But what if the man of Yah says, women, don't go after your desires. Restrain yourself. You know, your excess appetites, etc. And you can take offense very easily, not knowing your oppressor, not knowing the hostile time. And if he's coming straight out of the word from his experience, saying the thing that we need to hear to change our behavior, and you have this collective group of women that's saying, I'm going to do it. I get it. And you start fearing Yah, and you start changing. You start reflecting on your behavior, and I'm not going to go after my desires anymore. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep the Sabbath. Like this sister, she says in her email, for me, success was power and how close you were to it. I was in the gifted program at my high school. We were kept away from mainstream students, except for lunch and PE. I graduated with over a 4.0 GPA. When you take higher level classes in high school, you can receive college credit. So an A wasn't worth 4.0, it's worth 5 or 6.0. We had the best teachers, even teachers who would be mad if they had to teach mainstream students. My mother sent me to a college during the summers for a program to learn math and science classes that I would be taking for the next school year. What people maybe took in 11th and 12th grade, we were doing in 9th and often 8th grade. I went to college, played around with different majors. None of it mattered because I wanted to go to law school. You could major in basket weaving and still go to law school. So as long as you got the grades and test scores, you get in. In college, it was my first time being exposed to success as power. It was my first time being in a DC program with black people with money who were my age. Oftentimes, we as black people hate each other and are skeptical of another black person's success. But this was different. Others my age came from parents with money, not first-generation money, but for the lack of a better word, old money. Now, this was the first time I met black people from Connecticut who sent their children to boarding school to the tune of $47,000 per year per child on the other side of the country. Their daughter was in the program with me, and there were others going to more prestigious schools while in high school that historically blacks didn't go to, and the list goes on. Y'all can imagine the mindset that's being poured into her, right, from her surroundings, the education, the uppity, you know, everything that she now has to shed and fight for. She says, to be honest, given what I know now, I was introduced to Boulé. I was like, what's Boulé? So here goes, Boulé. Boulé. B-O-U-L-E. It's the Illuminati for blacks, per se, Sakina says, right? In a way, you just throw that out there. So it says, I was introduced to members of Congress, people who you hear on the news this morning. I was in rooms and had meals with presidents of foreign countries when I was just 20 years old. I remember calling home to tell my father, hey, Daddy, there's a man up here. He's going to run for president. His name is Barack Obama. This is what I thought success was. It wasn't necessarily money, having it or having titles, but it was the titles and money that got you closer to power, and money meant nothing if you had no power, and power and influence was success. So now I know money or titles mean nothing without the power of the Most High. I'm now disgusted by the world's success, and I want nothing to do with it. Satan, Uncle Tom, or all of Satan's demons. And not too long ago, I looked up the other people in the program, all successful. Okay, she's talking about the program she came from. They were all successful, from military lawyers, pastors, lawyers, chiefs of staff, working in the White House, all successful after the world's knowledge, and that was the plan. But I don't boast in my own power. I have none. My strength's in the Almighty, and I boast that I know him, and more importantly, that the Elohim and the Hebrews knows me. All I have is security and freedom in the world, and they are lost for eternity. So instead of longing for that,
I long for my alone time with the Almighty, being a submitted follower in the background, not being seen or heard, seeking after him, his wisdom, his discernment, his purity, his character. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, I would have been me. All glory to the King. Sister Brittany, well written. Bless you. Let another man's lips praise you, not your own, Proverbs 27 says. May Yah be praised. Now she keeps the Sabbath, running for her life, not, you know, being a lawyer in the courtrooms on Sabbath day. What about my sister Nicole, who says I was an ICU, CNA, phlebotomist, and EKG technician with no formal college education or degree? All right, so she starts at as a certified nursing assistant, gains opportunities for further certifications from different work environments that she gained experience in. So 2 weeks after her first position as a CNA, she starts working third shift preceptor over the Alzheimer's and dementia unit. 6 months later, she's given the opportunity to transfer to rehab from preceptor to rehab for post-operative care. I know all young nurses understand this. Later moves from Alabama to Georgia, gaining a position as a cardiology hospital, neurostroke, ICU, medical surgery stroke unit. How'd I do? From there, was able to gain more certifications, more valuable experience in areas of infections, non-infection disease, trauma, wound care, phlebotomy, cardiology, telemetry, neurology, oncology, and palliative care. I have never made substantial amounts of money, and many would say the legal and liability risk outweighed the benefits, but as for me, I love caring for people in their most vulnerable and challenging moments, and I'm fascinated by the unmeasurable depths of knowledge in the human body and its functions. So I've seen the effects of how one tiny blood clot can change the entire body forever in a matter of seconds, and how a large, inoperable tapeworm originating from swine can calcify holes in the brain. This is amazing knowledge, right? We think we know something. We start talking to someone else, and you're like, I'll sit down. And she says, rendering basic bodily functions inactive, that's what this tapeworm would do, and eventually taking the life of a man that was not even yet 20, and how flesh-eating bacteria from contaminated water can aggressively swallow up limbs. Most memorably, I've cared for the elect of the King, hallelujah, witnessing our beloved Dad Dow transition and a perfect peace, finally meeting face-to-face the very one he so eagerly waited on. Hallelujah. Blow that shofar for our Dad Dow. Hallelujah. So. Hey, hallelujah. For anyone interested in our backgrounds, we're giving you just a few of them. It's come up before in the recent weeks, actually. So hopefully we're reaching somebody. My mind was, what am I going to do if I don't go to the dentist all the time? What, you know, oh my gosh, your vein teeth might not be so shiny, you know, or your what if I don't go to my eye doctor every year? And if I don't got insurance when I live in a house, oh my gosh, right? I still see it on a lot of people too. So it's not just me. Like, it's common. It's just, what are you going to do about it? You're going to still go? You're going to charge the whole community to visit your dentist to keep your teeth vainly white? Or only go when there's an issue? You know what I mean? Let's have some balance. But there's a lot of things that got to change if you're going to be iron and iron, Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, Yah does all things so very well. And when I read about or think about these testimonies that you're reading, these questionnaires, you know, if Yah would have revealed these things to us, you know, where we are now, living communally, what it's like to be sharpened, we never would have agreed to it. And this is why he does it in such a perfect order. And this is why Yah's order is so important. You know, I'm telling you, Elder and I, we talk about it all the time, you know, and we always look at each other and we'll say, you know, if somebody told you that you'd be here today living with your brothers and sisters or, you know, having the family that we have now, would you even believe it? And I wouldn't have believed it. I don't even think I would even have it in me to appreciate it. I just wouldn't. So I'm thankful for where he has us. I'm thankful for the maturity that he gives us to even be at a point where we can accept it and love his will perfectly. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. We definitely, you know, when you come this way, my sisters, you're clearly seen by the Father. He's more intunely involved than you would imagine, whether you believe it or not. And he's very intunely involved in the preaching of the word. It's his word. And Pastor clearly sees the women of the ministry. It's never personal. It's never personal. It's using examples when they need to be used. It's using rebuke when it needs to be used, love when it needs to be used, or I should say it's always love, reproof, admonishing, building, complimenting, whatever, the entire dynamic. And we have to mature our hearing. In the Testaments of the 12 Patriarchs, page 57, there's an excerpt that says, "The spirits that wait upon man," it says, "Know therefore, my children, that two spirits wait upon man, the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. In the midst is the spirit of the understanding of the mind, to which it belongs to turn whatsoever it will." All right, so the spirit of the understanding of the mind lies between the spirit of truth and deceit. And the works of truth and the works of deceit are written upon the hearts of men. And each one of them, the Most High knows. And you better believe if his spirit abides in his men, and even in his women, through the dynamic of living together, we know one another. We know one another. It says here, "There is no time at which the works of men can be hid. For on the heart itself have they been written down. And the spirit of truth testifies all things and accuses all, and the sinner is burnt up by his own heart and cannot raise his face to the judge." So even your own state of mind as you conquer things will allow you to be condemned or victorious. It's easy to discern the nature of a woman when you start setting yourself apart from the things that you once partook of. So these women, for example, could look out at someone else and see their struggles based on where they've been. They can say, "I was there. I get it. I understand." And all throughout the ministry, that's how we all, our spirits communicate one to another. The pastor sees clearly, and how he addresses us is clear communication, whether received or not. And the more that we clean up ourselves and the more that we hear him, you know, the more that we function behind the scenes when he's not around and a man's not around, the more we as women operate the way that we should, maturely as wives and women and moms handling things, we will support the vision that he's so tirelessly trying to paint before us, Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, and it's because you have effectively discerned yourself. When you are able to discern yourself, you don't give yourself a pass. And this is why you're able to effectively discern the things that others are going through. You know, like you said, you can look at someone and say, "I've been where you've been. You know, I've been where you are right now." You can effectively look at somebody and guide them and give them the wisdom that they need, because you haven't given yourself a pass in that area. You know, you've discerned the wickedness in yourself and you've dealt with that so that you can help somebody else along the way as well. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Helping someone else along the way. That's definitely what it's about. Hey, now we're going to Sister Chris. Like I said, when our brother TJ mentioned, hey, what's wrong with her? You know, does she got CTE? Right now, she's the NFL wife that followed. Hallelujah. If there be more, hallelujah. If there never be more, hallelujah. You know, just she's coming from an experience and a background just like all of us. And she'll tell you she got a long way to go. But Let's hear from her, because none of us can say we understand. No one, right? At what age did you become an NFL wife? I became an NFL wife at 24 years old. Although I was 22 when Daniel first signed as an NFL rookie. Was there a name that NFL wives were called, like an inside term? She says, NFL wives and girlfriends are called WAGs, wives and girlfriends. Were you a part of a clique? If yes, how many years were you involved? If no, why not? Cliques were harder to establish because players moved around a lot. I was mostly friends with the wives of my husband's close teammates. Surprisingly enough, of the most cliquey group were the Bible study women. So the most cliquey groups were the Bible study women. What was the status like being an NFL wife? It was a coveted status, even amongst the WAGs, the wives and the girlfriends, because the title of a girlfriend held no weight amongst the women, considering some guys would have many girlfriends, okay? So wives had access to a family suite on game days, wives' luncheons, and other exclusive NFL perks. Being married to an NFL player meant a guaranteed table without reservations at fancy restaurants, skipping long lines to be amongst the first allowed entry into an event, luxury vacations, and the best tickets to games and concerts. All right, so you can see what patterns would have formed her life, her mind, and her experience, right, and what she has to shed. All praises to Most High Yah. Who did you meet that the world would know? There were always celebrities, actors, rappers, singers, reality stars, etc. at the games that we were privy to meeting or seeing in passing, and there were so many other NFL players that I met during my husband's time playing on at least four different teams. There were also a few of my husband's teammates that had reality series with their wives and families. My husband, however, has met many other well-known celebrities, some being Tiger Woods, John Randall, Kim Kardashian, Mary J. Blige, Mike Epps, Jesse Jackson. Y'all hear this, right? You know, where's she living now? Yeah, you can say it.
Goshen.
A community house with other people in the most humbling setting. Right, Mother Jennifer?
Absolutely. Sister Ashley, very humbling setting.
Hallelujah. And y'all know Mother Jennifer speaks from experience. So the next question was, how much money did you spend yearly on clothes, cars, and excess shopping? I've always been conservative when it comes to spending. However, we would go on weekly shopping trips. My husband would splurge on designer handbags, clothes, shoes, and et cetera. For me, he would buy designer wear, jewelry, and shoes galore, majority of which we sold soon after coming into the faith. Wow. Now, y'all can all testify to the fire that he has for the Father. Define your opinion of success prior to the transformation of Jesus, Sister Chris. And she says, prior to knowing the real Jesus, I would have judged success based on having earned college degrees, high-paying careers, suburban homes, nice cars, and children. What type of events did you attend? Listen, Super Bowl, playoff games, private parties, celebrity dinners, celebrity fundraisers, conference concerts, NBA games. Hey, once again, we're not glorifying the world, and she sure ain't. Because how many times has she ever ran around and told y'all any of this, right? Y'all ever heard it?
None.
All right. Next, what was your first reaction when your husband first told you about the straightway truth, or did you find it first? He definitely found it out first, and I wasn't sure about it, mainly because it was so different. I never heard a pastor speak like our shepherd, Pastor Dow. She said our. Y'all catch that, right? In her speech, let it tell on herself, it's hers now, her shepherd. She says, since Brother Kabir introduced us to the ministry, I was really curious about what could be worth all the turmoil that he was going through because I knew how much of a Christian family man he was. We went to Green Bay for the weekend. We met Pastor Corey, and after that, my life was forever changed. I still lacked understanding, but I told my husband that even though I didn't fully understand, I would follow him. My husband has always led his family well. He always studied and taught us the word, so I knew if he trusted Pastor Dow to be our shepherd, then so would I. When you began to listen to the Straightway Truth, Sister Chris, for yourself, what were the fears that you faced? She says, once my husband shared a Pastor Dow video with me, and I was hooked. I lived in the archives, and I would watch video after video. I couldn't believe how simple and how plain he made the truth.
And the more my husband would teach me, my understanding was opening, and I knew this was the way. My fear is as if that I missed it. It would wrap around me. So Hebrews 10:26 had never made more sense to me than it did at this time. One thing I'll never forget was when I met Pastor Corey for the first time in Green Bay, and I told him that I was afraid I would lose myself in this walk, and he said, yeah, while nodding his head very matter-of-factly, that's exactly what needs to happen, he said. And a light bulb immediately went off for me, and I've been learning to die to myself ever since. Is everyone learning how to die to themselves? Wow. Chef, you seemed a little... Come on, Sakina. There's a little more oomph in her response. You spend a large majority of your day unloading trucks and singing boxes with the heathens, right?
Yes, ma'am.
As a woman, as a sister, learning to be holy, you are learning to do what else? Give me a list of the things you're learning. You just said today, I'm learning to be quiet.
Yeah, that was probably though. But I'm learning, just be quiet. Not, even if you know something, you don't know nothing at all.
Right.
Just learning how to be long-suffering with others, be more patient. Smile, mother.
Yes. Mother Carol, so smile to her. Mm-hmm. Learning a lot.
Be nice. I'm being nice.
So you are, as a career woman, you know, you're out there amongst the heathen. You're also learning to maintain your holiness amongst men.
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
And not having sass and wisecracks and being who you might have once been.
Yes,
very true. So though tempted, you stand, right?
Yes.
It's rough.
Yes.
And thank you for sharing just even today's story of what happened. But that's it. Wanted to bring you forward as a living testimony, too, so everybody can hear voices. Anything else?
Even in the truck, like, we have pallets and stuff that have stuff on it. Even when I get up, like, you know, if you think about it, if you have pants on, you just step up. But because I have on a skirt all the time, I'm real mindful because I'm usually in the truck. There's probably another man in there. So I sit. And then I stand up, like I sit on it, and then stand up on it. So
you
my
get
dress,
in differently.
Yes. It's you're very cognizant that, hey, I'm a woman. I'm not supposed to be bent all over and stuff like that. I'm not trying to put myself in. And I've worked in a truck with Deacon as well, so it's real, even more humbling when you work with a saint. So
hallelujah.
Keeps you holy.
All right. Keep on striving, my sister. Keep on striving. Back to Sister Chris. Mother Jennifer, the question was, what was your heart's reaction to Brother Daniel wanting to live communally? What did you think it would be like? Daniel and I have been together 18 years now. 18 years. And one thing I know about him is that anything he does, he's going to do it to the zenith. He doesn't half-ass anything, which is why he's been so successful in his career. And all the more so when it comes to living righteously. And with that said, from the first time I heard Pastor teach on set-apart living, I knew in my heart that that would be the way my husband would have us to go. So this was even before we had ever visited Straightway. And after visiting Straightway for the first time, I imagined that communal living would be like what I saw at Straightway. People coming together for a common goal and striving together for Yah. So how long have you lived communally, Sister Chris? 1.5 years. So that means that someone else, other people, have lived 1.5 years with her. What does your daily activity look like compared to your previous lifestyle? Before the faith, my daily activity was centered around solely my husband and his children and myself. So vacations, school, carpool lines, spa appointments, lunch dates with girlfriends, sporting events with our sons. I was a whole suburban soccer mom. So now my daily activity is much different, now operating in my true role as a wife and a mother, supporting my master, who is the leader here at Goshen, leading the sisters here as my husband directs me, homeschooling, gardening, canning, preparing meals, shared tasks, working together, common unity. Hallelujah. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Yes, Mother Jennifer, can I get a shofar for all my communal sisters that are striving together in oneness? Hallelujah. never would that mean looking down upon someone who hasn't experienced it, but it does set you apart. That's all. It sets you apart by experience. The same way an NFL wife would have an experience and a janitor would have an experience, it's the same way someone communally has an experience and someone who doesn't, right? So it's just throughout life there are many, many experiences, and I keep saying pastor's had them all. You know, he's had so many experiences. I could spend hours and hours with y'all and blow you away with the experiences that have molded his mind. He has to have more experiences than us to teach us. Y'all understand that? And so he has to have more pain, you know, and more midnight oil and more of this and more sorrow and more. He's got to have all that to bring us all this. That's y'all's way. So what Sister Chris didn't know was I said, hey, Ashley, could you just send a questionnaire to a couple sisters, pick whoever, you know, that may want to speak about Sister Chris. Send them some questions. Hey, let another woman's lips praise her, not her own mouth. And if you understand where each of us come from, using her for example, if you understand that mindset that you come from and how far you have to go, how much you have to change, you know, it's not to be belittled. It's not to be used as an excuse either, right? So if she's going to be a leader's wife, then she's got a role to play, and she probably feels that pressure. And here's a sister from Goshen that says, here's the question. Using one word, how would you describe Sister Chris, her overall personality and character? Loving. Is there ever a time that Sister Chris presents herself in a higher-than-you, better-than-you status? Explain. No, ma'am. She has always been extremely humble and meek in everything that she does. If you did not know about Brother Daniel's previous career, would you describe Sister Chris as a woman of that status? Explain. She says, no, ma'am. Most football wives are described as being vain and selfish and full of pride or possessions of this world, but Sister Chris is one of the most caring and humble sisters I've ever known. She never glorifies herself or her past life and truly carries herself better than any football wife ever could. So is there anything else that you would like to express about the character of Sister Chris? The love that Sister Chris has for the sisters is real and can always be felt. She works extremely hard for the community, and her family is a beautiful example of how to be a wife, mother, and a sister. Hallelujah. You know, if we went around, this will be interesting. We just got to tell the truth, my Jennifer, okay? I'm going to be humorous for a minute. If I said, hey, everybody in Georgia, send in a questionnaire about Mother Jennifer. You know somebody's going to be that guy, right? Mother Jennifer that says, I don't like her at all. Or somebody's going to be the
Absolutely.
Guy that says, yeah, or that misunderstands you or believes you should be better or farther than you should be, or maybe they understand you in a weak area and they don't need to speak to it. That's fine. That's mature, you know. But at living communally, I can say, hey, everybody send in a questionnaire about Mom Vicky, you know, and based on their experience, it's all going to be different, you know, and that's what we're looking for. But most definitely, we need to always be able to see the good. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Everybody in the background says yes. All right. But Jennifer, another questionnaire from a Goshen sister, an anonymous. All right. Describe her overall personality and her character. Caring, loving, agreeable, and sweet. Is there ever a time that Sister Chris presents herself in a higher than you, better than you status? No. But I do understand that her position is greatly more important amongst the sisters here at Goshen as a leader in the form of an example to us. Y'all already know that means the more you got to be an example, the more critical the people are going to be. You already know. She says here, no, ma'am, she has always been extremely humble and meek in everything she does. And no, ma'am, I cannot recall a time Sister Chris has presented herself higher than me. She's always approachable, very humble, and not to the point where she allows herself to be walked on. Just very kind, welcoming to everyone. Sister Chris is loving, gentle demeanor. She's had it ever since we met, very calm, humble, and peaceful.
If you didn't know about Brother Daniel's previous career, would you describe Sister Chris as a woman of that status? Not at all. She doesn't even want to spend a dollar on a head covering. And a big smile. Look, I'm trying to tell you from the background. I love my sister. Bless her. No, ma'am. Most of my wives are described as, look, she says the same thing as the other sister. But she never has glorified herself or her past life, and she truly carries herself better than any football wife ever could. I would not describe Sister Chris as a woman of that status because I've grown to know her through the renewed man who has sacrificed her previous life to live a life in agreement with the will of her husband, which is in turn the will of the Messiah. And women of that status in the world probably have certain materialistic characteristics about themselves from my own perspective that I do not see exhibited in her at all. And I would not describe her as a woman of that way or that status. I say she carries herself as a holy woman who is married to an important man in Israel. She takes care of herself and her home, but not in the way of caring about worldly items or materials. Doesn't have haughtiness about her. She never really flaunted or talked about anything having to do with money, nor has she ever seemed flashy or belittling to others. So is there anything else you would like to express about the character of Sister Chris? Her spiritual awareness and her soberness is really ever increasing and is appreciated to know that she's able to discern amongst us women because we are known to be full of emotions and feelings. Having a head sister to go to that's ever growing, right? That means she's not going to stay where she's at, right?
Yeah.
1.5 years living in the community, Sister Chris. I've been here 15, and Sister Chris has humbled herself to my 15-year experience. So has so many of you in Goshen. Having a head sister to go to that's ever grown. Okay. The love that Sister Chris has for the sisters is real. It can be felt. She works extremely hard for the community and her family. Beautiful example. Hallelujah. She's an example of where I would have liked to have been at her age with her children, especially with relation to her husband. I've known my sister for about 3 years. And I've seen her maturity through her service to the saints, and I've learned so much from her in this area. She is not like any young woman I've seen outside of Israel. So she doesn't quite seem to have the same traits in many respects. I can relate to her in a lot of ways, and there's no partiality with her at all, in my opinion. I appreciate and shout out to all of Goshen who is willing to grow together, all of you. It's painful. It's maturing. It is... what would you say? It tests your character, you know, because so many things you examine that maybe aren't right, that you don't know what to ask or not ask, you know, dynamics of mistrust that you have to go through. You know, you got to learn how to question a friend, you know. You got to learn how to question a friend so that it doesn't turn out to be a false accusation. You don't trust everything that is said, obviously, and you don't get offended when something is said that might not be right or might not be trusted, and this is for all, you know, community sisters. There are those who slip with their tongue, and they don't do it intentionally. And the word says, well, who hasn't sinned with the tongue? You know, so you got to operate in forgiveness. You got to learn how to question your neighbor by entreating them, never threatening, you know. This is what experience has taught me. This is what experience has taught those before me. Never repeating something that you've heard. Not reporting to a friend or to an enemy. Revealing something that shouldn't be revealed. You know, wise people keep silent until a proper moment. Can you keep silent until a proper moment? Or we just got to, you know, run, tell it. Maybe there are times that you have to be more mature than the women that lead you. And that's okay. You're going to learn in that process. You're going to watch them grow. And I use the word women lead, but explain, Mother Jennifer, that it's just a role that's given to the man first.
Yes, ma'am. I'm thinking about the statement that Sister Chris made where she said, I lacked understanding, but she decided that even though she did not fully understand, she was going to follow her husband. And I think so many women miss that step, you know, really fully committing in your heart to to just follow and obey your husband. If you commit to just obey, Yah is going to bring the understanding. No matter what it is, he's going to bring the understanding, but you have to commit in your heart to just obey. Just commit to follow him. You're not going to understand everything all at once because you can't even handle it. So the little bit that he's given you, the little bit of wisdom that he's given you, then commit to obey that. Follow your husband. Stay in agreement with him. Don't be contentious. Don't be the one to always, you know, come against what he's trying to do. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. So I'm going over to my beloved Sister Alex, the Testaments of the 12 Patriarchs. I'm going to go to page 62. Hey, so not really any boring background about this book. If you're interested, just check out the preface or the introduction before you purchase it. It's not going to be a lot of money, but at the same time, I'm not saying it's a part of the Bible or you got to read it or it's a must-have or the ministry supports this book or any of that. It's just the testament of, you know, the patriarchs, Issachar and Reuben, and you know them all. So a little bit about the conflict between Jacob and Esau. It's really intriguing, honestly. And so I don't go into something saying this is the truth, period, plus nothing. I read it and apply it, you know. And so Issachar had this really good testimony. I think it was just last Shabbat when Pastor said, we ain't no Job. And he's saying, ain't nobody, you know, that holy and as perfect as he was, the way that he was tested. We can't assume ourselves to be the way that our people were because we're of less stature, right? And I marveled at this man's speech about himself, and this is humbling because, you know, you jump over to Proverbs and it says, don't, you know, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. If I jump to the 12 patriarchs, Issachar can literally talk about himself. He says, when I grew up as a child, I walked in uprightness of my heart. I became a husbandman for my father and my brethren. You know, a husbandman would be like a steward, a caretaker, whatever your job and responsibility was for the family. He said, I brought in fruits from the field according to their season. All right, so he was agricultural. He was harvesting. He said, my father blessed me. He saw that I walked in rectitude before him. Like, wow, you know, your father saw that you walked upright. I was not a busybody in my doings, nor envious and malicious against my neighbor. Wow. I mean, hey, a little heart check. Who's got that testimony? He says, I never slandered anyone, nor did I censor the life of any man, walking as I did in singleness of eye. All right, that means he didn't pick apart someone else's life. He said, I took to myself a wife when he was 35 years old, for my labor wore away my strength. That means he worked so hard, he didn't have his mind on a woman. He says, I never thought upon pleasure with women, but owing to my toil, sleep overcame me. So that means I worked and slept and worked and slept and worked and slept. All right, so at 35, he took on a wife. He says, my father always rejoiced in my rectitude because I offered through the priest to the Lord all the first fruits. So he made offerings all his life. I'm going to jump to another part where he talks about himself. He walked in singleness of heart, and the Most High increased him. He says, for all the poor and the oppressed, I bestowed good things on the earth in the singleness of my heart. That's impressive that we don't have that testimony of ourselves, right? Okay, let me see if I can find one more. Here he goes. I drank not wine in order to not be led astray by the wine, okay? And we ain't pushing that doctrine. I'm just saying this was his nature. This was his testimony. He says, behold, therefore, as you see, I am now 126 years old, and I am not conscious of committing any sin. Except my wife, I haven't known any other woman. I never committed fornication by the uplifting of my eyes. So now you can see a little bit of a twist in there with the words and the use of the English language. But he never uplifted his eyes to lust for another woman. I drank not wine to be led astray by it. I coveted not any desirable thing that was my neighbor's. Guile didn't arise in my heart.
nor anger pass through my lips. And if any man were in distress, I joined my sighs with his. That's some major compassion, huh? Didn't look down on him at all. He says, I shared my bread with the poor. I wrought godliness all my days. I kept truth. I loved the Most High. Likewise, also every man with all my heart, I loved him. But so do you also these things, my children. And every spirit of Baal shall flee from you. So he's saying, if you do what I'm telling you to do, what I've done, every spirit of Baal is going to flee from you. So this is a major change that needs to take place on us so that every spirit of Baal would flee, right? Every demonic spirit would flee us, that we'd be pardoned for our iniquity. It says, no deed of wicked men shall rule over you. Okay, and then it walks it on up into his death. But I loved his testimony just as an example for us to, hey man, can we say that we've kept our tongue from evil and our lips have never spoke guile? Like, come on. Can we just humble ourselves for a moment, you know? Let's not think ourselves to be wise based on our experiences and our status and our backgrounds and our, you know, nothing worse than somebody poor acting like an NFL wife, right? Your attitude is not going to fly. If you're a disagreeable person, you know, the slip of your tongue, I'll read this, it says, there are people who are silent in Sirach 20 and are found to be wise, and there are those who are hated because they talk a lot. There are those who keep silent because they have nothing to say in response, and there are those who keep silent because they know the right time. You see the maturity of speech we need, sisters? Mm-hmm. Wise people keep silent until the proper moment, and those who swagger are senseless. And they'll miss the right moment. Those who talk excessively will be loathed. That means hated. And those who pretend to have authority will be hated. And that's just the truth, true straight way. We got a long way to go, my sisters. We're going together, though. Together. Mother Jennifer, your words?
Yes, ma'am. Definitely going together, ready or not. The Father is not playing games. But it's... It really is a humbling walk, and it's humbling that he's actually chosen us to be in this walk, so we can't take it for granted. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, I'll end on some more community dynamics. So been through a lot of stages myself personally. I've you know, witnessed different stages of the community personally. I've witnessed... I'll just give you all a dynamic. People who don't support our shepherd have lived here, and that is something that's painful to experience. They're verbal, they're vocal, they're slanderous. They don't care what they say. When you're trying to push for the one mind and they're going another way, I've witnessed that. I've witnessed women in full support of pastor in his home, you know, as women, as, you know, Mother Carol being a mother. And then I've witnessed women who do not support. I've witnessed the hypocrisy of women who are pretend to be one way with Shepherd and are really something else to women. How they paint something or how they try to pass something up the chain to him to affect change. I've witnessed that. Why am I saying this? So that y'all know, you know, it takes love. It takes seeing yourself and reflecting on self more than something else or someone else, because if you think about it, if we all have to be clean, that means everything's going to be seen, you know? If I got to come clean and change, then she does, and he does, and she does, and he does, you know. And so it's all going to look like it's crumbling and falling apart. But no, it's just a purge. So that when things are made manifest to you, about you, you can see it and you can change it. You know, it's not for the embarrassment factor or the now everybody knows me for who I am. I've been through the dynamics of mistrust. You know, where people are afraid to say something one to another, or I don't know what to say. I don't know. You know, when you get a bunch of new people that move, everyone's trying to do right and be right. Everyone's trying to love. And then, you know, you don't know who to trust or who to go to or the how-tos or the whole thing. Every person has to learn so much. And so I definitely practice opening my heart with compassion. I see my sister Adela in the chat room tonight. She still humbly, you know, comes to me like a big sister. We have a beautiful, mature dynamic with children. Me and Angelica do too. Hey, he did. This happened. This is what we're going to do. This is how my husband does. This is how my husband does. Okay, let's work it out and talk it out. Very different. Very, very different. All of us are. Our husbands are all different. Responses are different. Training is different. But it's one mind. It's one way. It works. We're mature when we dialogue with the things that happen. We talk it out so we don't have small foxes destroying the vine. It's all about communication, or things will just eat away at you. But at the same time, you're learning how to keep silent sometimes. You're learning how to hold something in that you see that ain't right. You're learning how somebody else is learning how to, you know, hold something in about you that ain't right. You know, and really plow through it and wait and wonder. And, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. And that's why, you know, Pastor can call up Brother Steve from New York and say, hey, is it tough, you know, or is it challenging or whatever he asked him. And he said, yeah, absolutely. It really, really is. We didn't come this far to be criticized, to be looked down at, or to be, you know, Mother Jennifer, to be considered as if we don't see clearly or as if we don't have experiences that supersede anything you have ever been through out there. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, it's when you become mature in this walk, you don't feel compelled to defend your position. Elder always says righteousness never needs to be defended. And so when you know you're walking in a righteous and an upright way, and you know that your heart is to actually help someone and to not harm them, to not hurt them, it's not going to matter who agrees or who is going to ridicule you or, you know, none of that really matters. You don't have to defend yourself because righteousness does not need to be defended at all. You know that if you're living a holy way, a holy lifestyle, then that will speak for itself. Sister Ashley?
Yes, and if you're getting deliverance, it'll speak for itself. You know, you don't have to run around and glorify yourself in anything that he's doing. Glorify him. Glorify him for what he's done in your deliverances. Let him make bonds and friendships out of each of us and all of us. You're gonna come here and you're gonna see. Let's say, for example, I'm gonna paint it like you could see it in the negative. Who Ashley talks to and who she don't. Who Carolina talks to and who she don't. Who Jordan talks to and who she don't. But it's not like that. You know, it's not like that. We are all one body. We have people we're compatible with. Let me see if I got that verse. But the goal is to be able to die for one another. You see, you have men who are sons to pastor and men who are brothers, you know. You have men who talk often to him and men who avoid him for personal righteous reasons, to stay out of his face, you know. The dynamic of who he needs at the time or what he needs at the time. Many shifts communally. Let's say, you know, there was a time where I spent a lot of hours with him and now I don't. There's a time where Brother Brett is greatly needed, right, and as a young son and called on a lot by Pastor. There's a time now where, hey, Elder Becker and Pastor were constantly in communication when I moved here and for many years. Now we're spread out and Elder's on the phone and Pastor's taking care of his business and we're still rolling like a well-oiled machine. So you'll see in your community that type of stuff too. There was a time me and Grandma Vicky spent hours together. Then I became a mom. Now I got three children. Of course, I'm married, you know, and we now, you wouldn't even know. We don't spend hours and hours together anymore. It's like, bless you and how are you and
can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? It's really small, you know. There was a time where Granny Diane and I, it was shallow conversation, you know. Now we're the best of friends. And every stage is perfect. So I'm definitely not saying one is better or, have you seen a lot of stages, Granny Barb?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
A lot of stages. And we all are trusting the Father, as you should too in your communities, that you are exactly where you should be in the growth and the stage you're at. No matter what's being purged or what's being seen, we're doing a good thing. Aunt Jennifer, I'm going to look for a verse while you say your final words.
You know, the questionnaires that we read and the testimonies that we read were very, very encouraging. But I just want everyone to really focus on themselves and really ask yourself, what have you given? You know, have you really given all? Have you given everything, or are you holding back? Even the one thing that Sister Chris testified when she said, I'm afraid of losing myself. And Pastor Corey said, exactly, that's it. You know, we need to really lose ourselves so that Yah in us can actually take over and we can let the old woman go and become who he's created us to be. So we can truly say that we've given all. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Here it is in Sirach 13. All living creatures love what is like them, and all people love their neighbors. All beings gather together with their own kind, and people cling to those who are like them. So at one time, we all clung to a different type of people because we were like them. And it takes a lot of strength to step away and separate in any manner, you know, to separate from any sin, to separate even from a sister, to separate from a family member, a job, you know, become a homeschool mom. Wherever your step is, your leap of faith that you need to take, just know you got a lot of women, though we're all a minority, we're a remnant, you still got a lot of women that understand and relate. And if we really knew how much we could relate, we would be much more compatible. And if we would give honor to our experiences in our life, then maybe we would follow one another and really gel, you know. But, hey, that's all I got. I know it's a little different show, but it's for somebody. I pray y'all get something out of it. Enjoy your weekend, your Shabbat. Enjoy your Lion's Den and your and Pastor's Blog Talk. Enjoy your countdown for the feast. And remember, my sisters at Communities, I'll be contacting you next week. Thanks to everyone who's reached out to Mother, inquiring what you can do for us, because there's definitely a great need. Bless you to everyone who made tonight's show possible. And thank you to every leader of a communal home who is willing to suffer. Hallelujah. For the lamb that was slain shall receive the reward of his suffering. And we too. Hallelujah. My Jennifer, end the show.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, I think the verses that you shared were perfect, and I can't add to it. So blessings, daughters of Zion.
Sweden.
Jag är hebreer från Sverige och jag älskar min straightway stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan straightway heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel.
אני עברייה מישראל, אוהבת את שבט straightway ואחיותיי.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de straightway y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Usa ko ka Hebrew gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugma na ako ako ang pamilya sa straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon na ako nga babae.
Israel.
Mue señor Hebrew. Mue fet Haiti. Mue reme straightway tribue et semio.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia. And I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストライウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada.
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.